I encourage you to please grab your Bibles and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Thank you for the good reading. And that's where we will begin this evening. Deuteronomy 17, let's begin reading in verse 2. If there be found among you within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God, in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquire diligently, and behold, it be true, that the thing certain, and that such abomination is wrought in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which have committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shalt stone them with stones till they die. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. The hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people. So thou shalt put the evil away from among you. I want to look with you at that phrase this evening. So thou shalt put the evil away from among you. Let's begin by defining what evil is from our text. Notice in verse 2, it says, if there be found among you within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God, in transgressing his covenant. Notice, when a man or woman transgressed the covenant of God, they were said to have wrought wickedness. This is further defined in verse 3. And hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded. When they did anything that God had not commanded, they transgressed his covenant. They were said to have wrought wickedness. They were evil. And notice the attitude, the consequence that came to such. They were to be stoned with stones till they die, verse 6, verse 5. And verse 7, it was to put the evil away from among them. Now, I understand that we are not commanded to stone with stones those that have transgressed the law of God. But I do suggest that the Bible teaches that evil has not changed. The fact and the attitude that God has towards evil and towards sin has not changed. And the fact that sin brings forth death, evil brings forth death, wickedness brings forth death, has not changed. If you turn with me to the New Testament, to the book of 1 John. In 1 John 3 and verse 4. Notice with me that it says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Notice evil has not changed. When we transgress the law of God, we are said to have committed sin. And sin is still worthy of death. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. James chapter 1 and verse 15 tells us, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 10, and look with me, beginning in verse 26, Hebrews 10, 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and of fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Notice from verse 28, he references back to the law of Moses. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. That is what we just read from Deuteronomy chapter 17. They were put to death physically. But notice, verse 29, of how much sore punishment, of how much worse punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God. Understand that the punishment we receive today for sin, for transgressing the law of God, for not doing what he commands, is a much sore punishment, a much worse punishment than physical death. If we turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we'll look at verses 7 through 9. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. And you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Notice the punishment that we will receive from verse 9, who shall be, also, this is not something that might happen. This is something that shall happen, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Our punishment is going to be everlasting. Our punishment is going to be an eternal one. If you remember from this morning, as we got a glimpse to the punishment we will receive from Revelation chapter 20, and as well as Revelation 21, that is defined as a lake of fire and is referred to as the second death. Therefore, the need to put away evil from among us most certainly still stands and applies to us today. It's a big problem in the church. Many people are failing to put the evil away from among them, and are rather becoming mingled among the heathen. If you turn to Psalm 106, we'll look at verses 34 and 35. It's speaking here of Israel. Psalm 106, verse 34, it says of them, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. Notice, they did not do what the Lord commanded, but rather became mingled among the heathen. And the result of that was they learned their works, and they were led away from God. Same thing today. If we do not do what the Lord commands and do not put away the evil away from among us, we will become mingled among the heathen, and as a result, learn their works and be led away from God. I want us first to understand that it is the responsibility of the church to put away evil from among them. Paul teaches about this in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. If you would turn there with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, in my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then ye must needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. For what have I to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now we learn that if any brother, verse 11, be a wicked person, verse 13, that is, they transgress the law of God, they're living in sin, we must deliver one unto Satan, not to keep company with, and put away from among us. Notice why. It's so that their spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Verse 5. And because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, it will spread throughout the congregation. If you turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul puts it this way in verse 6. He says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. Notice that this is a command. This is how we are commanded to put evil away from among us today. We are to withdraw ourselves. That is, abstain from associating with, avoid. Withdraw ourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. And Paul tells us how to do that in verses 14 and 15. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Notice, we do this that he might be ashamed. Now, many would tell you today that withdrawing from the disorderly is terrible. You are a terrible person. You aren't loving. You're not caring. In fact, they say that you are too strict. Now, when they say that, they say they're simply saying that the Lord is not caring or loving and that he's too strict, because this was a command. Remember chapter 3, verse 6, 2 Thessalonians. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a command. And may that be enough. Are not God's ways higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts? Isaiah 55 and verse 9. And may we say, as we looked at this morning, as the mother of Christ said of Christ, in John 2, verse 5, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Because remember, if we don't, then we transgress the law, and we are just as guilty. Now, we do not do this out of hatred, out of meanness, but rather, first of all, like we said, this is a command, but we do this out of love for his soul as well as for ours. Remember, verse 15, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And we do this out of hopes that they may feel ashamed, verse 14, that his soul may be saved in the day of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 5. And that the wicked may be saved. And remember that if we don't, and they don't ever feel the need to feel ashamed, then they won't feel the need to repent. They'll never be convicted to come back to the Lord. And remember that a little leaven, their sin, will spread, will leaven the whole lump, will spread throughout the congregation, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. If you turn to 2 John chapter, or verse 10, 2 John verse 10, we read, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. Neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Notice, we're not to receive him into our house. We're not to bid him Godspeed. That is, encourage him in his evil deeds. Because if we do receive him, accept him, and if we do bid him Godspeed, encourage him, then we are partaker of his evil deeds. We are just as guilty as he is. Now, not only is it the responsibility of the church to put away evil from among them, but it's also our responsibility as Christians individually to put away the evil from among us. If you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll look at verses 3 through 5. 1 Timothy 6, beginning verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. It says, if any man teach otherwise, and consent not to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, from such withdraw thyself. By the way, when he says, any man, if any man, notice there's no respect or partiality to the persons that is involved. This includes friends. This includes family members as well. If you remember Matthew 10, verse 37, when the Lord said, he who loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. It is very simple. And yet, sadly, too many people, too many members of the church are failing to put away the evil. They're becoming, as a result, conformed to the world, mingled among the heathen, and being led away from God. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, he that is not with me is against me. We're either with the Lord or we're against him. There's no middle ground. We're either going to be with the Lord, putting away the evil, not associating with it, or we're going to associate ourselves with it and be against the Lord. The Bible mentions several ways that we are to put the evil away from among us. The Bible mentions that we are to flee. That means to shun, to avoid quickly, to escape. The Bible teaches we must flee fornication, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. We must flee idolatry, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14. We must flee youthful lust, 2 Timothy 2, and verse 22. The Bible teaches we are to avoid. That means to shun, to turn away from, to keep oneself from. We are to avoid the path of the wicked. We're to avoid the way of the evil, Proverbs 4, verses 14 to 15. We're to mark and avoid them which cause divisions, Romans 16 and verse 17. We're to avoid foolish questions, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, Titus 3 and verse 9. But also we are to abstain That means to hold oneself off, to refrain, to stay away from. The Bible teaches we must abstain fornication, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Abstain from all appearance of evil, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from fleshly lust, 1 Peter 2:11. We must put away from among us and not associate ourselves with such things. Remember from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 that evil communications corrupt good manners. How true. It's so sad to see Christians, members of the church, falling in to this. And that means evil companionship, associating ourselves with evil, destroys good morals or character. Remember that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. There's influence. Therefore, we must put it away from among us, not associate with it. Just as they demonstrated diligence in putting away the evil from among them in Deuteronomy 17, we must do the same today. Practice diligence in putting it away from among us. If you turn to Psalm 101, we'll look at the good example of David. Psalm 101. Remember that David was a man after God's own heart, Acts 13 and verse 22. In Psalm 101, David says this, "I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord." May that be our mindset. And may we put the evil away from among us. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians 6, we'll look at verse 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither are fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Notice at the beginning of verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" The unrighteous are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. 1 John 5 and verse 17 tells us that all unrighteousness is sin. Therefore, to be unrighteous is to live in sin, that is to live contrary to the word of God. And they that do such will not inherit the kingdom of God. Therefore, we're not to associate, we're to put away from among us those, anyone or anything that is such, that is practicing unrighteousness, that is in contrary to the word of the Lord. Because in Romans chapter 1, in verse 18, it says this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." The wrath of God is against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. May we be living our lives as is taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Turn there with me, please, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll look at verses 14 through 18. Second Corinthians 6, verse 14 beginning. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." May we be separate from the world, from those that practice unrighteousness, that are living in a contrary life to the Word of God. May we examine ourselves according to the word and be sure that we are putting the evil away from among us as we are commanded to do, so that we are not against the Lord, but rather with him, Matthew 12 and verse 30, so that we may walk after the Spirit, which leads to life, and not after the flesh, which leads to death, Romans chapter 8. Remember Romans 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are we doing when it comes to putting the evil away from among us? Now, in order to not die in our sins and to be judged worthy of death by the Lord, he has taught us that we must hear, Romans 10 and verse 17. We must believe him, Mark 16 and verse 16, as well as Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. We must repent, the Lord says in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. We must confess, Matthew 10, 32, as the eunuch did in Acts 8, and be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Remember, we must be faithful unto death, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Maybe you've done these things, but you have fallen away. You're no longer serving the Lord faithfully as you should. The Lord has commanded us to repent, Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5. And we must do as Simon was told to do when he fell away, when his heart was not right in the sight of God. Repent and pray to God, confessing our sin and asking for forgiveness. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, come forward now as we stand and sing.